I want to get your take on the other two elements of that equation, being hormonal therapy and chemotherapy. But before I do, I wonder if you could comment on the study that was done in Canada trying to validate the adjuvant online model and sort of where you see the adjuvant online model being utilized right now in this country. Our patterns of care study suggests that a high fraction of oncologists are utilizing this.
Well, adjuvant online is an evidence-based model, and actually there's a paper describing parts of its function and development that appeared in JCO in the year 2001. In the interim, there are a few things that have been done to validate it, but one of them is to use the excellent population-based database in British Columbia. And they, of course, have a one-payer system, very good records across the province, capturing most of the breast cancer cases and detailed information about them. So we worked together. They sent us the actual patient and tumor descriptions. We then generated projections of 10-year survivals for those patients.
So they gave you individualized cases?
Individualized cases. Individualized cases.
So yes. You put each one into the model?
We put 4,000 cases into the model. And the results were actually then of our projections were sent back to British Columbia, and they matched them with the outcomes. And on average, we were very close to the numbers. We were on average within about 1%. Now, we took a look across a lot of different parameters, you know, subgroups to take a look. We were generally very close fits. I think there are two things to say. One of the areas that we had a miss in was in the very young patients, where we debated about whether or not, based on the literature and some of our own analyses, to assign those patients a little bit worse prognosis. And the British Columbia analysis would suggest that we should have.
How young?
Less than 35. And the other thing is that I have to say that our analysis overall was strongest for breast cancer-specific mortality. Relapse, it was very strong, but not as strong as mortality. I still feel that mortality is the best endpoint for the model. But they felt that the model was well-validated across all the different subsets and different endpoints. It was presented last year at ASCO, and on the 20th of April, it was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology.
Now, did they also validate the non-breast cancer mortality projections?
Actually, they did. That does not appear in the paper. But interestingly enough, non-breast cancer mortality in the population in British Columbia is very similar to that in the U.S. I think we are actually working at this time to validate the model in a European population and an Asian population, and where non-breast cancer mortality may be a little bit different than in the U.S.
To me, that's one of the most fascinating parts of your model. And it really, you know, I put slides up all the time at meetings showing, you know, what happens to a 70, 75, 80, 85-year-old woman over the next 10 years in terms of non-breast cancer mortality. And that drives a lot of your absolute numbers in those patients.
I think that one of the interesting things about the tool is that it puts a lot of numbers at your hand that you kind of vaguely knew, but not very specifically. And we've looked at the numbers against the national databases, which actually from which they were derived, of course, but then against specific subsets. And they appear to fairly accurately represent what goes on in the general population.